People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or theysepeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, my co-host Larry, and dear friend, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm very well. Yeah, I am. You asked me that earlier, and I had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Just a little down in the dumps.
I know, and it's very odd. I can sympathize. I'm with you on that.
I
think the time of year.
Yeah.
It tends to bring up both good and bad things in ourselves and our emotions because we become overwhelmed, I think, with the fact that another year is ending.
Yeah.
There's the holidays, and some people are not as happy about the holidays coming, not so much because they don't enjoy it, but more for the fact that, you know, they may have lost somebody this year. They may have had a rough year. They might be without a job and they can't afford to buy gifts and things like that. So it can be both joyous and it could be very, very difficult for a lot of people as well. And I would say it's closer to 50-50 in the split than people might realize.
I believe that to be so.
I think a lot of people put on a brave, happy face around this time of year. And yet they are very down and they don't feel as happy as they feel they should. And I understand that. I could totally relate to that myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think years past, I would already, at this time of year, I'd be like way immersed in listening to Christmas music, for example.
Would you?
I typically will fall into it around the halfway mark. Maybe like December 10th, I'll start listening. And then as it gets closer, I'll listen to more Christmas music. This year, I have literally listened to one song on my own, and it was more accidental, but I enjoyed it. And it was a sad Christmas song, nonetheless. And I've heard them in stores and such.
Yeah, true.
But I hear them in the store, I'm like aggravated. I'm like, turn this off. Why are you playing this? It's only December 11th or whatever it was.
It starts after Halloween.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, and that's sort of why I think I get aggravated with it, because I feel like they've been trying to force it on people for so long at this point. But I guess you try and extend the holiday season, and the meaning of it is, you know, spreading joy and enjoying, you know, your family and your loved ones. And even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you know, it's a time of year where everybody gets to kind of stop, because most people are, especially in this country. So if you don't celebrate Christmas religiously, you kind of use that time for your family and go visit friends and family and spend time with loved ones and enjoy each other.
True.
So it does sort of extend beyond just people who are Christians and celebrate.
Well, like you said, we just finished Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So there's another 8 days of Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah was over on December 10th, the 2nd to the 10th.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, I always think we were talking about what we were going to do on today's show. It was an open show. We weren't going to plan to do anything. And I think just talking off air, we were throwing out some thoughts and ideas and talking about life. And I think this was what we decided would be a good thing to do. Like, let's talk about all of these emotions, all of these things, and all of the ways we could feel better about ourselves. You know, I wanted to point something out. I'm going to do it at the front of the show here. Yeah, you know, Brad, who everybody who listens to the station, who's familiar with, you know, Shreeja and the morning show, Brad's been behind the operations of this station since day one. Actually, since KLOK back in the day.
Right,
and now, you know, I came along to work side by side with him in 2012 out here.
Yep.
I worked with him before I got here as well, but like then, you know, basically all the time now. He went and did something the other day on the weekend. He bought a whole bunch of blankets from wherever he went, Target or something. He bought like 25 blankets or whatever, and then went downtown San Jose, and it was cold. And he handed out blankets to some homeless people who were very appreciative. And he, you know, he didn't really look for any fanfare. He wasn't going to announce it on here. You know, I just wanted to point out, because it made me realize that I need to do something now. Not because I want to one-up him. A little bit of that, but not really. It really was because when you hear somebody do something really nice for people, thankless and not expecting any fanfare, I think it challenges you to do something similar. you know?
Yes, I agree with
even
that.
If you aren't comfortable doing that kind of thing, like, yeah. it, you know, you could find what it is that you're comfortable doing. Some people mm-hmm. don't want to be confronted with something awkward, right? So there's things you can do. You could do anonymous donations. You can go to a shelter and just drop off some blankets. Sure, so you could go to a, you know, bring a bunch of food to a food bank. There's things you can do where you really don't have to be forced to interact with anyone and you don't have to worry about right. being, you mm-hmm. know, have to talk about it. But I think it's important, and we talked about this not long ago on the show, to really find something that you can do that you aren't going to get any thank you for. That, you know, maybe True. Do something without telling anyone. Because mm-hmm. I think those are the purest moments to feel some sort of fulfillment and life, in life's rich pageant, if you will. It makes you feel really good.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Put that way.
You never heard of life's rich pageant?
No.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot from you today.
I've never heard you say that. Never heard you say that at all.
Well, it's not always good what I learned from you.
But it is, you know, that's words to live by. I remember that one of my dear friends always says this to me. Whenever something good happens or something, you know, bad that you learn from, he always says, love this life. You know, and I used to say, like, it's true, because even the bad things that happen, we're still alive, right? We're still functioning, and we have another day.
Yeah.
We don't know when it's going to get taken away.
True.
You don't know we all think we have a lot of time left, but we don't know. We have no idea when the expiration date is on any of our lives, right?
Absolutely not.
So love this life. Yeah. And I think doing things for other people is the easiest way to get that good feeling that you might not be able to find for yourself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes all the sense in the world.
What do you have to say about what do you feel about all of this, and how can people do something to make themselves maybe feel better and get out of the funk and the holiday funk they might be in?
Well, it's like you said, you know, when you help people, it gives you, to phrase it a little differently, a sense of worth. Like I don't feel like I'm much worth anything. This is just my personal view of myself. If I can't be of some kind of use to somebody else's suffering, this is the way I look at
it. Yeah, you're very giving.
My life.
Yeah.
Well, with what I can give. But and like when we do this show, you know, it's kind of like, I wish I could do this 5 days a week. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I know it's helping people. I really, really do. And I know that thousands of people hear this show every week. Literally. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, I know that I'm helping out. But me, it goes well beyond that. I mean, I want to be able to touch the people that I help sometimes. Mm-hmm. In fact, a lot of times. So I'd like to be personally involved in being a part of a solution in their life if they're going through something bad and hard. So I'd like to be a part of that and know that I was. To really know that I affected somebody. And really have proof of it.
Yeah.
On the show, we don't have proof of it, really, unless we hear some
people. Right, feedback.
Feedback of some kind. But you know, we've always said this, Greg, you and I, and the whole concept behind the show was originally to help people out, especially those that are really suffering in our community.
Yeah.
And see if we could be a conduit to an organization or another person that would be able to help them out in their particular situation. So I think we've achieved that, and we've actually gone beyond that, I think, in a lot of ways.
I think we've taken this way further than I thought it would have when we started, and I think that's a testament to the fact that we found something good and special. All of what you just said was very, very powerful and true. I think for me, I've found that I'm noticing more, I guess as I get older, you start to pay closer attention to people, and you also know how you feel yourself, right? And like what you go through on a day-to-day basis and throughout the course of your years, the ups and the downs of life. And you start to look around you and you realize that of every 100 people you see, there's probably 50 of them that are not in a good place, or they might be struggling in some way.
Yeah.
But the people that I've really been feeling for more than ever are people that really battle a lot of personal demons and emotional and mental issues. Because I think for some people, they have to try and put on a brave face all the time in public and with others to sort of allow everyone to not worry about them, or to kind of allow for the fact that they're, you know, if they showed how bad things were, there would be a lot of people very concerned for them, and they don't want to do that. This time of year, I think, magnifies that, as I was saying at the beginning of the show. I think it really does add, for a lot of people, it adds a lot of dark sadness and misery and despair. People who don't have a lot of family are lonely.
Yeah.
And they have no one to really kind of turn to. And even those who do have people to turn to, they're just living in their own personal hell, if you will.
It's true.
And I always feel sorry for that, because I think it's impossible for anyone to really understand that life and that those feelings and those circumstances. But we all go through the hard times. We all have these moments, and some years are better than others. Some years you feel like, you know, this is as good as it can get. Mm-hmm. Christmas and, you know, holidays, everything's great. It's going to be great New Year's Eve. And for some people, it's the hardest they're ever going to have in their lives. But it's recognizing that that's pretty good chance. There's a 50-50 chance that everybody you come across is one of those two people, that they're either the best year of their life or the worst year of their life. Mm-hmm. And it's an equal chance. And there's a lot of people in the middle too. But I feel the idea of living life and enjoying these daily, mundane, middle of the road moments, not the highs and lows, is the way to try and live life. So you can allow yourself to enjoy the times when nothing is really great, but also nothing's really that bad. You know, it allows you to live in the middle for a little while.
And that's not so bad.
I like the middle. I'm a big fan of the middle. I think I could be okay with, you know, it's always great to have some highs. It is. I mean, you have those, whatever that might be, you know, your team wins the World Cup, you know, you win the scratch off lottery ticket,
$5,000,
or you win the, you know, a pool, or you find out you're going to have a child, right? Mm-hmm. There's great moments, highs that are like incredible feelings, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But with the highs always come the other side. The lows are going to happen, right? So for every high, there's going to be a low. That's just how life is.
True.
I feel like in the middle, you have less, it's more or less you're just kind of coasting through. Those are the days where you don't, you know, maybe nothing great happened, but maybe you had a great meal today. Maybe you had a great conversation. Maybe you had a few laughs about something stupid. Maybe you read a great book. Maybe you heard a song you loved so much. Maybe you did something for somebody that felt, but these are all things that are not like going to change your life. It's not going to make you feel ecstatic, but it's also not going to make you feel sad and alone and miserable.
True. It's called balance.
Enjoy the middle.
Yeah, balance.
Yeah, balance. Let's talk about balance for a moment.
Okay.
What exactly is balance in today's life? Work, everybody's working more. People are traveling less. People have less money. We have more commitments, phones, cars, payments, rent, mortgage.
Yeah, responsibilities.
Where do we achieve balance in life, Larry? What is the balance of enjoying life and doing things for you and your family and yourself, and working and making a living and making ends meet? Is there such thing as balance anymore?
Sure there is. Every family, you know, every relationship has a different type of balance, you know, for them based on their priorities. And everybody's different. But I mean, just to generalize it, I mean, if you take work and you balance it with family time or friends and things like that, you never want your work to be your number one thing.
Right.
When you pass, nobody's going to remember how good you were at your job. And this is like almost cliche, but they're always going to be looking at you and how you affected those people around you in a positive way. Or negative, but mostly positive.
That's a great point.
Yeah, so don't let work ever be number one, and especially the money factor when it comes to work.
Yeah, and I think unfortunately so many people let work become their lives, and I think they tell themselves, and maybe they're told by their bosses that that's the most important thing. It should never define you. You can love your job all you want, but you need to have something out beyond that.
Absolutely, that's a good way to put it. Never let it define you as a person.
I'm seeing that it's harder for people to balance life and job and responsibilities. I feel that relationships are suffering because of it. I think we've all lost a bit of ourselves in what we are and what we are representing and where we work. And I think I know I could speak for myself. I think we all kind of lose a little bit of that over time, and you start forgetting why we're working. We work to be able to make a living so we can enjoy our lives. We don't live to work a job.
True.
But so many people, and I know in Silicon Valley, it's probably, I mean, I can't tell you how many people we have clients on the station that are working every night at 9, 10 o'clock.
Oh,
on
I'm
the
sure,
weekends, but, they're working. And that's, I think in the older generations, I know for like Italian people with my heritage, the grandparents and uncles and aunts would work around the clock and save all their money. They would never vacation. They would literally work 12, 14 hour days, go home, eat dinner, sleep, wake up the next morning early, do what they had to do around the house, go to work, and rinse and repeat every day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they would die at 70, 75 years old and have never really explored anywhere beyond their home country and where they lived most of their adult lives.
Never enjoyed life.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they would save a lot of money and not be able to use it, or maybe they would give it to their kids, and their kids foolishly spent it and wasted it, usually like we all do. But that's sort of the way of the old Italians. And I know with the, especially with the South Asian Indian community, everybody works very hard, hard workers, and they are willing to put in as much time as they need to.
Yeah.
And I encourage you, if you are listening to this and you're sounding like, it sounds like you're one of those people I'm describing, go be with your family, take a vacation, spend a Saturday walking around the redwoods.
Go to
Yosemite, do something, but get away from work, because there's going to come a day that theory, like when you're on, and there's never been anybody on their deathbed who said, I wish I spent more time working.
Yes.
And that's true.
Yeah.
So you have to think about what is most important. And most times, even though we think it is, money is not that thing.
It's not. They say, stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
Enjoy life, you know. I'm very fortunate and blessed to have the work that I do for a living. I have plenty of time to do the things that I want to do, because it's just a really good business for me to be in, because I'm very knowledgeable, and because I have a history in it for a lot of years that I won't mention.
You're a very talented man.
Well, it comes to
work. You're in the top 1% in the world at what you do.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt that.
All right. Don't be cocky.
Well, I'm not.
I'm joking.
Take a comment whenever I can get it. Compliment. But anyway, so it affords me time to do stuff and help people out a lot more than I ever was able to in the past. But that wasn't always the case.
I mean, you're a very simple guy too.
I'm not simple-minded. That's not what he means, by the way.
Well, you're that too. But I meant more about the fact that money. You certainly aren't defined by money. You're not looking like driving around in a Tesla, and you're not wearing Gucci.
Not at all.
Matter of fact, you wore a jean suit today, so I don't think. You came in a jean
good
suit,
thing
so
you don't have a video of this.
There's no Gucci.
I'm wearing my uniform. My brother gave me that jacket there.
I'm just joking with you.
Sure,
but no,
but
you aren't defined by money. You are, never have been. But, you know, I'm sure you, like everyone else, you have your flaws and your shortcomings. We all do, right?
I can't think of any at this point.
I can think of a few if you want me to share.
No, that's okay.
I can name a few, but I'll leave it alone.
Thank you.
No, listen, I mean, this kind of a show is always interesting to me, because we tend to just like talk what's on our mind, right? And
mess with each other's heads.
I also think that there's a lot of therapy in this too.
Yeah, right? I think we're very therapeutic for each other.
Yeah, especially when it comes to all of this, you know, kind of hashing through what's going on out there. And we were talking about like next year, what we want to do with the show, how we want to grow the show.
I was wondering when you're getting around to that.
Oh, listen, there's plenty of time.
Oh, good. For a change.
So we were talking about what we were going to do and how we want to, what we'd like to approach next year. And you brought up a couple of things if you want to share.
Yeah, well, we've got quite a few people between the two of us, you know, several at least, waiting to get on the show. So one, for instance, is going to be a young lady who's homeless, lives in her car with her 15-year-old daughter, and she's pregnant. She does work, however. She's employed at Levi's Stadium. She's a 49ers fan. Very articulate, very bright young woman. So I had the privilege of speaking with her just the other day. So we're going to have her on the show, see what we can do to help her out in her particular situation. There are so many of these people around. She never chose this for a way of life, of course. And her daughter's, you know, she's suffering, and we has been bullied in school too. Mm-hmm. So she's suffered with that. Her daughter has. So there's a lot that this person can share with us as far as being homeless and, mm-hmm. and what she's been able to accomplish through it. Then, of course, my brother, my oldest brother, wants to be on the show. He's a Korean War vet, was a sniper in that war. And I can't get anybody to be on the show as a vet, and we've tried.
That's been the area I feel it's been the most.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And I know PTSD is like one of the most.
It is.
I guess in the last 2 or 3 years, I feel like it's one of the most talked about.
Yeah.
And I guess concerning trends because of all the people that have come back from, not just from war and going and fighting for their country, so the veterans, but even people just who have had traumatic events in their lives. And we, I guess for many years, we never recognized that really as anything. It was just sort of like, you know, these people have some mental issues, but in reality, there's PTSD is a very real thing.
It is.
And it's very difficult to live with it. I mean, you, at any moment you could fall into a very dark place, very similar to bipolar disorder, which over the years, many years ago, would be called manic depression.
Right, exactly.
Now they've identified there are two different types of bipolar, and it's a very difficult way to live. Yeah, sure. I don't think any of us can understand that.
Yeah, not unless you're going through it yourself, you know.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of. I mean, we shared this in the past. You don't want to share that with somebody and say, "I understand what you're going through," if you've never been through it.
Right,
it's actually almost a slap in the face.
Yeah. And you have no idea.
You know.
And even in most cases, they don't know what they're going through because it's hard to even for them to explain.
Yeah, it's hard to define it.
Really. I've heard some people say that, like, you know, imagine, you know, you're having the greatest day of your life, like the best possible day you could have. And literally at the snap of fingers, it starts, you know, there's the dark cloud over you and it just starts pouring rain. Like, that's how quickly
it changes.
It just changes. And then, at any moment, it could shift back. So, yeah, it's tough. But PTSD and bringing in veterans and trying to help them find work and find their place back in society after coming back from overseas, which is very difficult to do.
In itself.
Yeah.
Just in itself, if you don't even have PTSD, just to, try and get back involved in society again as you knew at one time.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you can sit and talk about it. You can actually watch. There's a lot of documentaries about it as well, about soldiers and coming back and what they go through. But that's an area where I think we all need to learn a little more because these guys they made the ultimate sacrifice. In some cases, have watched very dear friends die in front of them, had to shoot people, had to hurt people, had to, basically put their lives at risk every minute of every day. And then they come back and now they're supposed to live a normal life.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, their relationships are very strained and very difficult. And they have a hard time adjusting back to what we call normal life. It's just not the same. And then for years and years, they try and find jobs and they have no money and they have issues and they have injuries they're dealing with. And unlike years past, when a lot of soldiers would come back or they would die on the front because we didn't have the ability to save them and the medicine to save them. They would come back battered and or dead, or they would lose limbs. Nowadays, a lot of people are surviving the damage that they incur overseas or wherever they're fighting because our medical abilities are far beyond what they used to be, correct? So they come back damaged. And in some cases, missing limbs, but you don't necessarily see it as much because in a lot of cases, you can't see their injuries because we saved them, but they're still in bad way.
That started during the Korean War. Is that what they call triage? Where they I think that's what MASH was all about, wasn't it?
Yeah, MASH, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
MASH. Uh-huh. That was for Korean War.
That's when it started. So, and that's saved countless lives because of that, but it never used to be that way.
But even then, I mean, our equipment, our medicine, our knowledge is so far beyond what it was in the 50s and 40s.
Absolutely it is.
That we've been able to do so much more. Mm-hmm. So we're saving lives, and that's a good thing, but we haven't really thought about how to get these people our soldiers and our veterans reintegrated into society.
Well, I think, you know, I just, when I talked about my brother, he'd be excellent. He loves to talk.
Yeah.
So he's going to be one of those. But anyway, you're good at it. So
well, I mean, I could see it runs in your family.
Oh, yeah, with my son, yeah. So anyway, he will be a guest. And thinking about this now, he can actually give us a lot of insight as to how we can get some people on the program.
Yeah, and also just so we can locally ask some questions.
Yes, true.
Which war did he, or was he in a war?
Korean War.
He was in the Korean War?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was a lieutenant, I think.
So he's your younger brother.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you never know. He's
well, my dad's a Vietnam veteran, okay. And he is one that does not mind talking about his experience there and what he went through. And I've always picked his brain about it because I'm very intrigued by that time you know, very different times for this country.
It sure was.
Although not that unlike now in the divisive nature of people, but you know, a lot of people didn't support that war. And when he came back and he was ridiculed and spit at and thrown stuff at when he got off the plane after he had just fought for a year and a half or so.
Yeah, like what sense does that make?
18, right? 19 years old, right. And mm-hmm. you know, fought for his country, didn't have a choice, was drafted in.
There you go.
And had to do it, and yet came back to people throwing things at him.
Yeah, we didn't have a choice. We did. We had the draft, and it was going full tilt.
Yeah. So, you know, listen. You know, we feel for the veterans, and we feel for anybody with any kind of mental illness, PTSD, bipolar disorder. What was the other one that somebody was telling me about it the other day? Paranoia, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to live this way. And medicine does help, but in some cases takes away a lot of those people and who they are and numbs them.
That's right.
And they're not living their best life, unfortunately. So mm-hmm. a lot of us who don't deal with that are very fortunate, but we can help. We could try and help.
Which brings up another point.
Please do.
So I've worked, and I didn't take advantage of it though. I've worked at two different facilities that manufacture, you know, cannabis oil and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Medical marijuana.
CBD.
Mm-hmm. And one of them was here locally in San Jose. Huge, 16,000 square feet, this place. Mm-hmm. But I was wanting to have them. There are three owners in that particular facility. I was wanting to have one of them on the show to describe, you know, the benefits of this. This is not all about getting high.
No, this is nothing about it. CBD doesn't have anything to make you high.
No, it's just a derivative.
It's like taking Advil.
Yeah.
Kind of better. Natural Advil, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't dumb you down, and it really has a lot of great benefits for people with PTSD.
With no chemicals.
Right.
That's the nice thing. It was on God's earth. It just grew out of the ground.
And well, I've heard that all the time. Yeah. So anyway, so we're going to have some people from that part of our society on the show too.
So we have 2.5 minutes. I want
to... Oh, now you finally got around to it.
You know what? You've been talking so much. I had to squeeze it in here.
Yes.
Leave us with something. This will be our last live show of the year. We'll be back in the new year. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
It's very basic. Make your life count. And you can do that in a number of ways. But you can start by helping somebody less fortunate. And guess what? It's real easy to find.
That's the theme of this show today.
That's all you have to do is open your eyes, your ears, and be willing to go out there and make it happen.
The theme of the show is do something for someone else.
Make your life count.
And feel good about that. Mm-hmm. Because it's not always about money and gifts. It's about doing something for somebody who needs it.
Rarely about money.
And I need to take my own advice as well on that. And my thing is, it's sort of been recurring for the past several months. I'm sort of trying to live by these words of day to day, taking it day to day, enjoying the day. Don't look too far ahead. We don't know when we're going. We think we have all the time in the world. It's okay to live that way. Don't live in fear that you're not going to have all the time in the world. But just know at any time, it could be taken away from you. And something, you know, that you didn't expect could happen. So live in the moment. And I've been using the phrase, tomorrow's not promised. It's true. Do good things. Be good to the people around you. Treat everyone with respect and love. Love your loved ones, especially. Mm-hmm. And be there for those that need you. And the rewards from life will come.
Yeah, and don't forget about the fire victims.
Yes, don't forget about any victims.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who's listened to the show throughout the year. Thank you to everybody who's been supportive to Larry and I.
Couldn't do it without you guys.
Especially the guests we've had on who've spoken the word of what they, whatever they're passionate about and their initiatives are. Those people have built the show for us. We've really only had to facilitate around them.
Yep.
And they've helped many people.
Yeah, we have the easy part.
And we appreciate that very much. And we also appreciate those who listen to the show each week and get something out of this, because I know we get a lot out of it.
Yeah, we do.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year. And we'll see you back in the first week of January.
Absolutely.
On People Helping People, Bali 92.3 FM.